It's May 22nd.
It is. It's Monday.
And I'm wearing my level one shirt that I got for the level one store. And Chris is wearing a shirt that you can't get in the level one store. But you can't see it because of the mic stand.
A grumpy German is a sauerkraut. I got that as a gift. It's very cute.
Brilliant humor.
Really?
Level one new standard of humor.
That's why they subscribe.
Just going to warn you now, there's not a lot of news this week. This is going to be the fourth worst news week ever. Like the fourth worst videos.
And you know who is going to be sour this week? Are those Tesla.
Oh, yeah.
Leave Tesla alone crowd. Because guess what?
We've got three Tesla stories right back here. It's like, so there's a story here on Autoblog. It's like the Tesla crash may have triggered a battery fire. Now, this is not the one. This is in Switzerland? Yeah, this is in Zurich.
We had the one that was that
wasn't
in California?
That one in Florida?
Or Florida?
I thought it was in Florida.
That was someplace sunny.
There actually had fatalities.
Two kids, and one was thrown from the car. This one's in Switzerland. This is the same deal. A guy hit the divider, and the shock to the battery just caused it to burst right into flame.
Well, now, I think I'm going to have to play devil's advocate here and say that we're seeing more and more Tesla stories in the news because Teslas are becoming more affordable for normies that can't drive correctly.
Well, some of it is...
Are you implying people who can afford a Tesla can necessarily drive it? Because
previously.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Or they're not even driving it. They're just letting it drive itself, yeah. Which is not how it's designed to work. But the thing about it is a lot of people, it's like there's... And even Musk pointed out, it's like there's 40,000 traffic accidents in the U.S. every day with gasoline cars. Why are we focused on this one? And then we're also focused on his tweets about making candy. You know, it's both sides of the coin.
Or flamethrowers, yeah, the case may be.
If you're going to be a media slut, then they're going to pick up on all the things that go wrong. That's just how it's going to work.
Well, it turns out there's another case of someone using autopilot incorrectly. This is the fire truck crash reported on last week that's still being investigated, but the driver has said, hey, I was looking at my phone when I crashed into that parked fire truck.
And that's
not the parked fire truck we were talking about a couple of weeks ago. It's another parked fire truck. So apparently fire trucks are invisible to these.
It's also a she, and we said it was a he. We assumed a gender.
Oh, yeah.
We did. It's not a proud day for women drivers.
Well, she did. It's not her fault. Well, I mean, I guess.
She's texting.
She was looking at her phone, but it wasn't. That's a good question. Like, is it the driver? Is it bad driving if you're not the one driving? It's the autopilot.
Well, the autopilot is not supposed to be used in that way.
Well,
you're never supposed to take your eyes off the wheel.
I think Musk is learning a valuable UX lesson that I had to learn, too, is that always assume your user is an idiot. You can't assume that they're going to use it the way you think they will.
One of the things about all these crashes is, I'm not sure if people realize this, but the Tesla is dutifully recording every time that warning comes on for the steering wheel touch.
Yeah.
And they've even talked about some people coming up with ways to trick the steering wheel.
There is actually a 3D printable thing on Thingiverse or somewhere. You can 3D print a thing to like put on your steering wheel to fool the thing.
Wow.
Is it not detecting heat? Is it literally just feeling like the grip?
Yeah.
Wow.
The Darwin device, they should call that.
Yeah. I'm so tired of this thing telling me I need to drive.
So they talked about this woman. It had warned her several times, and every time it had warned her, she had just touched the wheel long enough to make it stop. It's like, stop bothering me. I'm texting.
I mean, we don't know she was texting. She could have been playing Candy Crush.
Well, she said she looked at her phone, so what else?
I mean, she could be looking at forum.level1text.com.
Which is where you should be, hanging out with the cool people. Or slightly less than cool people. Moving right along. So, yeah, the engineers are starting to come out and say, well, you know, we wanted to do eye tracking and all this other stuff, and Musk rejected that. But Musk actually tweeted about this article and said, no, eye tracking and face tracking doesn't work. We tried it. It's not because I cheaped out. It's because the technology doesn't work well. But there are other cars that do have face and eye tracking now, at least.
Yeah, GM uses it and seems to work for them. I think they're going to have to do something more than just the steering wheel thing because clearly... I mean, people are going to do as little as possible. They also talk about in this article that every time someone crashes a Tesla on autopilot, you would think it's like, oh, I just got my new Tesla and I didn't know what was happening and I crashed it. No, it's always the seasoned users. Like they've become complacent.
So they want the AI to take care of them, is what you're saying.
Or that's just that positive reinforcement. It's like, well,
die this time.
Yeah, I let this thing drive the whole way today and I'm good. So tomorrow I'll do it again.
But this time I'm going to be drinking a cup of coffee, texting, and playing a game.
That's a really amazing lead-in to our next story about the selfish ledger. This video is an internal Google video. This was not something the public was supposed to see.
I'm surprised it's still up on YouTube.
If you haven't seen this, you should go watch it. It's really interesting, but not for all the reasons. Well, there's a lot of articles about it. Maybe you've already seen something about it, maybe not. But they talk about how... Well, I don't want to really get into the whole explaining the selfish gene and Dawkins and all that. So how do we put this in a nutshell?
They want to know everything about you, and they are going to engineer it in such a way that they can get that information even if you don't provide it.
Well, I think the best comparison is the Chinese social media score.
Yeah.
So we talked about the Chinese social media score. This is kind of a velvet glove way of doing that.
They want you to think about those pieces of information as having a life of their own. The same way that like evolution might preserve genes through generations. They want you to think about the preservation of information like that through perhaps generations, and that as something for shaping society. But I don't really get it. Like, so yeah, it's super dystopian and really dark, but is it really any different than like Bernaysian advertising designed to manipulate you into thinking bacon is good or that women smoking is good or whatever?
Well, this is a little bit farther than that, isn't it?
Yeah, but those were bad things. That's bad for society.
But they already happened. And
this was talking about like scales that would measure your weight and send it to this service. And it's like, wow, that's a little...
It wants to build a holistic view of your life. And if it can't do that, it tries to find ways to do it. And then to identify ways that you differ from the norm.
It wants to take the stuff that Bernays was on and turn it into a giant AI brain doing that one-on-one with you as opposed to doing what works for the masses.
But what we've seen, we're describing Facebook here, right? Facebook is like the Neanderthal version of what they want this to be. And what have they immediately done with it? They've used it to sell us things.
Yeah.
They've used it to...
manipulate the election.
Yeah, try to shape the way that we think. So anything good that can come of it, I think, is immediately negated by the terrible, terrible possibilities.
Whoever's in control. What if it's the one of those, you know, Jurassic Park things where it's like, oh, we didn't stop to think whether or not we should. We were too busy with whether or not we could.
Yeah. Well, and think about... You know, we sort of were in this bubble of like, oh, our system of government is going to be like this forever because it's the best ever. But if you look back in history, that's never been the case. So, yeah, what if some terrible dictator gets his hands on this?
The terrible dictator scenario is really horrifying. But I'm thinking the more pedestrian. Like, what if there's just some hacker inside Google that's like, I'm going to change this 0.01 to a 0.05. And all of a sudden, you know what's for breakfast? Shoe leather. It's the undocumented, you know, breakfast food. It's like I've single-handedly reshaped society.
I was thinking more like the creeper, like the one we learned about the other week, where it was like the guy had access to all that information on Facebook and then used it to stalk women. It's gonna be that, yeah. Right?
And the securest guy, it was a sheriff who abused it because he didn't like a judge.
Wasn't this also one of the things in MK Ultra? Like in the dossiers in MK Ultra, they would build a profile on somebody and they would exploit the psychological weaknesses of the person to break down those barriers, to recondition them and turn them into a machine.
I think that's just what the prison system does.
It's a lot like that. I mean, we don't know what their weight is. Let's psychologically condition them to do terrible things. And also, let's 3D print them a scale that we know that they're going to buy.
I think the terrifying thing about this isn't the idea, because the idea is not really new. Like you say, Bernays, you know, we've been doing this kind of thing for centuries, if not longer than that, in more primitive terms. But it's how close Google is to already, like, you know, we've got a pretty good idea of how to do this.
Whereas Bernays was just throwing stuff to the wall to see what would stick. And it's all of a sudden we've got bacon for breakfast.
He was using Freud's genius because he was Freud's like nephew or something. And he was like, you know what? If we just took this and twisted it to make it commercial,
hideously evil,
that could make money.
That would be super effective.
I was gonna say hideously evil. That explains why don't be evil is not one of the mottos of Google.
Good segue.
Which is,
you're skipping ahead.
Yeah, I am skipping ahead.
Oh,
that's,
yeah,
not,
you
that's
actually,
not actually
you skipped
the
a
next
couple.
One so
but speaking of evil
speaking of evil, Charter is using net neutrality to claim that states can't hold it accountable for shoddy service and failed promises. What? Okay, so anybody in the audience that was like, yes, deregulation is good, blah blah blah, if there was healthy competition in the market, I would totally agree with you. But this is exactly what we predicted would happen, because it has happened before. And so it's happening again. Just wanted to point that out.
There's a happy medium in there somewhere, and it seems like we'll never catch that balance.
Yeah. And it's, I think, I don't know if this was the article, but they talk about the FTC's original ruling on this or whatever. And it, they wanted Milton Friedman, he's an economist, to weigh in on it. And they were like, hey, would you sign this? And he made him put like some kind of language in it that was just like, you know, that made it obvious. Oh, no, it was the copyright thing. But anyway, go read Milton Friedman, because exactly what you're saying. He was a free market guy, but he sort of took the Keynesian thing and he was like, we're so far from free markets that we have to adapt it in a way that we can't just be pie in the sky about this. And that's kind of where this is.
It's New York is one of the, so there are multiple lawsuits that this article refers to. And the most fascinating one is in New York. And so like the attorneys general in New York have been on top of this. And also in New York City, it's super weird. Like this building can get this provider and this other building that's across the road has a completely different provider and they can't have another provider. And you would think in New York City that it would just be a melting pot of broadband competition. There's fiber optics everywhere and blah, blah, blah. But I would say, I would go so far as to say that New York is sort of a dystopia as far as like good, reasonably priced broadband availability goes, because depending on where you are, you might not be able to get anything that's worthwhile.
Well, the buildings themselves make those deals.
Yeah.
That's that renter economy. So yeah, the building can save a lot of money by offering you internet service as part of your rent, but then you have no options about then it's, you have to have an exclusivity contract. So you rent there, you get free internet, but it's garbage and you can't get your own.
Well, and it's quote unquote free internet. It's built into the price of your rent, and your rent's probably already absurdly high. So,
and you can't get a competing company. So your internet remains really extra mega horrible.
We're kind of off track, I think.
Well, the attorney general thing was, I think the big one was false advertising.
Yeah.
They were claiming speeds that just simply were not possible in New York City. You could not get them. So they sued them. And the argument is because of that clause and the net neutrality repeal that preempts states from making laws that preempt the repeal of net neutrality, they're saying that applies to those court cases as well.
We don't want to deal with that, and we shouldn't have to.
That is so disingenuous. Now, remember, the FCC said the FTC could investigate claims of, you know, not offering what they were sold and blah, blah, blah. But here we have, this is not exactly the same, but it's pretty close. This is a really terrible situation to be in if you just want to get a reasonable handshake from the companies that provide broadband.
And those, the whole, like, the FCC is making this ruling that preempts state level stuff. Apparently that has no legal grounds whatsoever. The FCC is not supposed to be able to make any rulings on that kind of thing.
What about states' rights?
And it has to do with the Title II, Title I. And by taking it out of Title II, they basically took away their own ability to make that decision. And yet they made that decision.
It should also be pointed out that, you know, with like Spectrum and Time Warner and Charter, there have been a lot of mergers lately. And in addition to the federal law and advertisement and all the other stuff, there were also things these companies agreed to in their mergers with when the federal government allowed these mergers to take place. That was like, we're going to deliver this much service. This many new households are going to be connected. None of that has been fulfilled, pretty much.
And they're saying that the same rule exempts them from those because that's a state level requirement from the merger, and they're just simply not beholden to it anymore.
So if those ISPs have been smart, they should have promised solid gold bathtubs to every citizen in the state.
I don't think that would make me want their service anymore, because that's going to
well,
be hard
you
to clean.
Don't have a choice. These are monopolies.
It's gonna be soft.
Yeah, gold as a bathtub material might not be the best because gold is water soluble. So
yeah, it's going to slowly disappear over time.
Comcast is charging $90 to homes that already have Comcast installed. Speaking of things the FTC should be shooting from orbit. So yeah, if you
have this picture,
if you buy a house that already has Comcast, you still have to pay them to install Comcast. $90.
Ryan's been looking for a house. He's going to have to suffer.
Well, we don't have Comcast, thank God. But this, they talked about how one guy they interviewed here, I think maybe he worked for Ars Technica, He said the guy came out to his house, the tech came to his house, and he was like, I'm using my own modem. And the tech was like, okay, why don't you go ahead and install that? So he unboxed it. He plugged it in. It basically sets itself up based on the location. And the tech was like, why don't you go and do a speed test? And he was like, okay. And he went and did a speed test. Like, yeah, it's gigabit. And the tech was like, all right, cool. See you later. Didn't ever touch any piece of equipment, but that was $90.
I bet the tech probably gets paid, what, like 10 bucks an hour?
Too? Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah, it's not much.
So it's not their fault.
It's probably a contractor. So, yeah, that's Comcast. So, woo, FTC. Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't matter if the house already had service. Even if it had service better than the service you're getting, none of that matters. Although they did show in the system that some addresses, for just whatever reason, were exempt from this. And it seemed to be...
A Congress critter lives there.
Yeah, maybe. Or have at some point.
That's what we call them around here.
Amazon. Yeah, Amazon lives in Seattle. Amazon the company. Because Seattle, woo. But
Seattle's losing Amazon.
Well, maybe. Because Seattle's got kind of a homeless problem, and Seattle's way to address the homeless problem is to charge companies making more than something like $22 million a year, $250 per employee that they have in order to build homeless shelters and other stuff like that in Seattle. And Amazon and Starbucks both, I think, are threatening to leave Seattle over this.
Which, I mean, it's not necessarily... Like, if you knew the money was going to the homeless problem, it's like, well, maybe that's okay. But you know that that money is just going to get squandered.
But also, I think corporate tax is something, it's a hard discussion to have because we live in a global society. And if you corporate tax somebody, as we'll see with Apple later on in this newscast, they will simply just leave. You know, it's not that big a deal. So you want them to be there. So you want to be good to them on the taxes. But the other problem with this is, hey, you know what? Let's punish only the super successful businesses.
Yeah.
Let's punish success. That's the same problem with an income tax. Hey, you know what? The people that are doing good and like contributing back to society, let's make them suffer.
So the homeless tax is going to end up going to the working citizen, is what you're saying. It's going to be on their payroll taxes or whatever. So Amazon, quote unquote, doesn't have to pay it.
Or it goes to the Amazon customer. Yeah. Prime prices are going to go up.
Again, can't convince me to get it.
I don't want to pay for the Seattle homeless.
What a strange, you know, I didn't realize Seattle had such a homeless problem. I've heard that for California, but like Seattle is so rainy, like 90% of the year.
Well, I think what happened, I don't think that was the case 10 or 15 years ago in Seattle. It's just that Seattle has become the quote unquote Northern California destination.
And oh, so yeah. I have family
housing
about
prices
that.
And all this stuff has gone through the roof, and that's the economy hasn't kept up with it.
And you can make a good argument that Amazon is somewhat responsible for that, because as they gentrify all of the places the homeless people used to live, then there's less and less housing for those people.
The article specifically mentions that a 17-story downtown building that Amazon was constructing on, they immediately halted construction to be like, okay, we might be out.
And they are already working on that new base of operations. And nobody knows where. I think it's Virginia is one of the finalists, one of the big ones. So how hard would it be for them to just be like, you know what? Triple the amount of land we were going to buy from you here, and we're going to move everything.
Will their employees complain about that, though? Oh, well, Virginia, man, backwoods.
They'll get new employees.
They'll be replaced. That should have a connotation of darkness to it, with robots or something. I don't know. Maybe those laid off developers could become a stay at home app developer.
Except there's no money in that.
Nope. Fed up with Apple's policies, app developers are wanting to form a union. So I think, Ryan, you pointed out that this might not be a real article.
Well, it is, but
it's on Wired. But yeah,
they're definitely doing it. But you see that when you read the details, someone made a movie about app developing. It's called App, The Human Story.
Oh.
And
I just threw it in my mouth.
And some of the people involved in that were doing this. And, you know, the cynical way of looking at this for me is, how could we get Wired to write a story about App, The Human Story? Let's form a union.
Yeah.
I've got some sad news for you. If you are an Apple app developer, it is really hard to make a living as an independent app developer, like pretty much impossible, unless you're in a country where $10,000 a year is a good salary. And then maybe, possibly, you could do that.
Yeah, they go into that. The only people making a living from it or making a lot of money are the game developers who are doing the games with horrible microtransactions and weight mechanics and stuff like that, at which
I would classify those as cancer.
Well, yes. But they not only do they get the best, not only are they the ones making a living, they get a better cut. They get 85-15 if it's a subscription model. Whereas if you just make a decent, good app that costs a dollar, you can't negotiate for a better deal.
If I come up with digital cocaine, I also don't have any way of offering people a free trial if it is a, unless it is a subscription model.
Yeah.
And so that's one of the other things that people that are forming the union are jockeying for, is to say, hey, you can download and try my app free for 3 months and then you got to pay.
So, first taste is always free.
This union does
drugs.
It doesn't have any dues. It's only got a handful of members. I think they're shooting for 1,000.
And by then all the people who made the movie, right?
To go maybe the key grip is part of it.
Yeah.
And they're not like doing the traditional union kind of thing, which really again points to, it's like, well, do we just really want a headline here?
Wow, what a career trajectory. Go from key grip to app developer.
Is that a step up or down?
I don't know. Apple is also, they finally made their first tax payment. So this is something we've reported on a few times. Apple has shifted a lot of its income to Ireland because, hey, tax benefits. And that's why we were sort of hesitant on the whole Amazon thing, because Amazon could make good on its threat to move, as Amazon has moved, or Apple has moved most of its profit to Ireland. But the EU is saying, hey, wait a minute, Ireland, you can't do that. You're part of the EU. They actually owe $40 billion in taxes to the European Union. So Ireland and Apple together are fighting that. But Apple's had to make their first billion-dollar payment on that $40 billion judgment. But it's in an escrow account, so they might get it back if they win.
This has been in the court since, well, like 2014, 2015?
Yeah, a long time.
Yeah, so that's how long it takes to get your first $1.5 billion payment from Apple.
It's like wringing blood from a turnip. It's going to take about 3 years to do that. So there's really not much to this story otherwise. This story is mostly background, but it's something to follow, like the whole globalization and technology companies doing stuff with globalization, I think is a really interesting topic because they're basically playing the shell game with profits.
Well, it's, and it's not even just tech companies, though. I know lots of people, well, lots of businesses that do that.
But also you got to look at, it's a good example of, is the EU working in the interest of Ireland, or is the EU working in the interest of the EU?
Mm.
So is that economic union a great idea if you lose the sovereignty to say, hey, let's cut Apple a break because look at all these jobs and look at all this great stuff they're giving us?
It has been a tremendous benefit to Ireland. Yeah. I mean, that's what Ireland has said repeatedly in the EU hearing testimony, is like,
but we want our money.
You're right. Exactly.
I'm sure we're going to get, I'll look at the stats. I don't know. I think we do. I mean,
oh, sure.
Yeah,
oh, sure.
Probably at least one.
But I wonder, like, I'm always curious, like, where the downvotes come, and it was probably, like, it's like, oh, no, EU, anti-EU, down. It's fine. Speaking of...
Not fine.
Oh, I had a really good segue into this one, but I've forgotten what it was. So here are the mugshots of the guys who allegedly run mugshots.com and why they were booked. So the people that run mugshots.com, which is a website that aggregates arrest mugshots around the U.S., have themselves been arrested. Four of them in four different places. It was like Pennsylvania, California, somewhere else. And they were all arrested simultaneously, which I thought was pretty interesting.
Yeah, extortion. Because it turns out to get your mugshot taken off of mugshots.com costs you $400. Even if you are recused from the crime. Or
if it's been years since it passed. Like,
if the arrest was a mistake or anything like that, it doesn't matter. And there's a great, if you read this article, one of the guys who got this ball rolling recorded phone calls with him, and they just, you know, cursed at him when he told them what they were doing was illegal. Then they blocked his phone number. Then they began calling him.
What?
Just to curse at him.
That's not a wise use of your time.
That's not going to look good in the court case.
Yeah, well, it's all automated, so they didn't have anything else to do.
About as good as their mugshots. They're at the top.
I think there's four people. There's only two mugshots here, so.
Yeah, everybody.
Release all the mugshots.
There were a number of people who were involved. Everybody involved, they were all co-owners, I guess, have all been arrested.
Well, maybe so. The two paid their $400 fee.
To whoever that was.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, they're really awful, terrible people, but it seems like probably if you were arrested in error that they should not charge you to remove that. But I don't know if that's actually required under the law.
It well, is if someone a, just contacts you, that should be the rule.
But it is, it's a public record. They're not stealing this. I guess the bigger question is, should we immediately be putting all arrest records out there like that?
Theoretically, it's innocent until proven guilty, but the whole arrest thing is often used as a blunt instrument, even by entities other than arrest.org.
And you start questioning that, and you're going to be silenced immediately, because those questions are not allowed to be asked.
I think that there are even some states that employees have won wrongful dismissal things, because like the police came and arrested them at work, and you know, they hadn't been charged with anything yet, but they were immediately fired. And it's like, no, you can't dismiss me yet.
There was, I can't remember what business it was, but some guy, they accused him of stealing $800 and he won something like $5 million when he proved that wasn't the case.
Chipotle.
Oh yeah, that's what it was.
So yeah, I think did we do that last week, or is that coming up?
I think we might've missed that one. Well, it's not really tech related.
Yeah, it's just an interesting story.
It all runs together.
It really does. There's a lot of stories every week.
Google removes "Don't Be Evil" clause from its code of conduct. Now, before you say, we already covered that one a long time ago. That was Alphabet. This is Google. They're different companies. So Google has also removed "Don't Be Evil." And if you recall from our previous stories, they changed it from "Don't Be Evil" to "Do the Right Thing."
Fight the power.
Fight the man. We're gonna
fight
change
the
it to
powers fight. That be.
In this instance, though, there was a paragraph. It's just gone. So they looked at the Wayback Machine and was like, when did that disappear? It was sometime in late April, early May. It's not like they press released this. Someone just simply went in and deleted that paragraph.
Deleted.
Although the final line of that same document does say, remember, don't be evil. So I think they just forgot.
Some interns just getting destroyed right now.
Control F.
It's sort of amazing that that's even news, because Google just had their I.O. You think maybe it's the scariness from the Google event where like the AI was having the natural language conversations combined with this leak of this internal video from like 3 years ago?
There was a lot of sort of fallout from the natural language thing. Some people have gone... I didn't put the story in here because it's kind of a non-story, but it's interesting to mention in this context. Some people went to Google and they were like, it's weird that the salon owner didn't identify the store when you called. Was that real? And they refused to answer that question. So Duplex might have been some BS.
Time to get 4chan on the case. Track down a call, literally
4chan's
every salon.
Busy trolling forums elsewhere.
Good news, the Zuckerbot is going on tour. It's going on a European tour, so you can get your tickets now if you're in the European Parliament.
No, you can't.
The revolution will not be televised.
Well, you know, Zuckerberg, he was very disappointed he couldn't make it to the royal wedding. So he was like, you know what, I guess I'll go do this.
You think you got an invite? I wouldn't.
No.
I think, wasn't the girl some sort of actress?
Yeah.
She had like a bunch of celebrities, maybe. She was friends with Zuckerberg, we don't know.
Yeah.
But and he had to put like, politely decline.
But it's cool to have celebrities. I don't think it's cool to have Zuckerberg.
It is literally happening today, as of whenever the news thing's happening.
The wedding invite?
Yeah, no. Wedding happened. The conference of presidents, the European. Maybe he was in town for that, and he's like, well, maybe I can go do that while I'm in town for this other thing.
I have to look that up now. I was just throwing out like conspiracy theory, but now I think it might be true.
Well, the important thing is you won't be able to watch it, unlike the Senate hearing that happened here, because part of Facebook's negotiating power, they were like, no, this will not be televised. It'll be closed door. And the politicians over there didn't want that. They wanted the openness, but Facebook said no.
And well, I mean, can you blame him? I mean, there's so many memes. Yeah. That
I
came
was
going to
say
that.
There were so many good memes. Though.
Him drinking that water.
It was almost realistic. The blinking algorithm, though, they really got to work on his blinking algorithm, because it was just all over the place.
Well, there was also that thing about all those people that were questioning him were huge recipients of Facebook donations.
Yeah.
He's not going to have that same thing in Europe, as far as I know.
I enjoyed the booster seat.
Oh yeah, he was like sitting on books or something.
Oh, more TechCrunch news. Facebook's new transparency report includes data on takedowns and of bad content, including hate speech. So, spoiler alert, it's mostly copyright takedowns, not so much hate speech.
Yeah, these were the... They reported not only what was taken down, but what amount was taken down before it was reported. So it turns out the Facebook AI, amazing at taking down copyright claims. It's like the copyright terminator. When it comes to hate speech, only 38%.
Gosh, what a scary future to imagine, the hate speech terminator. It's like, what kind of a world would we end up with?
It's got blue hair.
I mean, would it just be all Teletubbies all the time? Would that be your rehab?
Well, I think a lot of it has to also do with, you know, the evolution of hate speech has become the bar for hate speech just keeps getting higher and higher, or lower and lower, I guess. Yeah. So probably the AI thought something was mundane, but then somebody reported it. And the people, you know, the overzealous Facebook people were like, yes, that's hate speech.
What an exciting future we live in.
But yeah, don't say anything controversial on Facebook. It's bad.
Twitter is also working on their own AI bot thing to deal with this, their own hate terminator. And their way of dealing with it is to just sort of let you spin in your own echo chamber. So the title,
the Shadow Bin,
Serving Healthy Conversation. I mean, isn't that just like the headline is dystopian?
That doesn't really tell you exactly what's happening in the article. Maybe they hope you don't read it.
Well, they
like they're like
too
oh,
long
to you know.
Read.
Yeah,
yeah. They talk about trolls and bad content. And what is the definition of bad content? Only Twitter knows. And we've talked about the shadow bans before, because the whole, like, you know, conservatives lashing out against Twitter, that's been a constant story since early last year, I think, is when that started getting hot. Whenever Trump got on Twitter.
How do I know if people are ignoring me because I'm a moron or if because I've been shadow banned? I will never be able to tell.
Yeah, exactly.
What's kind of weird about these stories, too, is, like, with social media, you control what's in your feed. If you don't like what someone says, why not just unfollow them?
And because then they have to be corrected.
They have to be corrected.
There's someone wrong on the internet.
The greatest thing about this one, though, like the weirdest, creepiest new thing is this idea that even though you don't use any hate speech yourself or whatever, any bad posts, simply associating and communicating with people who do, you might start to get shadow banned because of them.
Guilt by association, obviously.
Collective punishment is what that's called. I can think back. There was a government that used that to control populations.
I seem to recall something about a revolution or something. It's like this will not be.
I'm thinking more about the Nazis.
You know,
of course. Well, there goes our monetization.
Oh yeah. Well, I think within the first 10 minutes, Ryan said something about media slut. So
I don't know that one article in the nonsense section this week. We're not going to survive.
There's two of them. I'm not sure which one you're talking about.
There's two of them. They're both. One of them, I think one of them is going to be, but the other one, I don't know. But you'll have to tune in later this week to find that.
Yeah.
Or become a patron, because it's on Patreon right now.
I read every word of that one, because I was like, "What? How could that possibly be?" And then the more I read it, I was like, wow, they really put some thought into that.
What are they talking about? You'll never know.
That's not enough of a teaser. Yeah. I don't know what it is.
We'll see you next time.
Bye.